I just want to take a moment to tell you how pleased I am to be with you today. It's been a full weekend. I got to officiate at a wedding yesterday. I have started school, and my life is off and running and busy as usual, but I am truly blessed to be here with you today, and I want to thank you. Would you please pray for a moment with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Picture it. A 12-year-old boy in a baseball uniform arriving on his bicycle at the home of his friend. Out of the front door comes the house comes Simon. Another 12-year-old boy with his baseball glove and a wooden box that holds all of Simon's prized possessions, his baseball cards. Seems fairly normal. Oh, but wait, I'm not done. Simon is 3 feet tall, walks with a limp, wears glasses, very thick glasses, has very large hands, and is aggravated with his buddy, Joe, for being late. Joe had his bicycle specially equipped with a sidecar made out of a wooden box attached to the bike at just the right height for Simon to jump into on the seat special for him and enjoy the ride to the ball field. Off they went to the game, Joe standing as he pedaled as fast as he could down the rocky drive. And Simon quickly reminded Joe to take it easy. I'm a miracle, you know. The movie Simon Birch was loosely based on the novel A Prayer for Owen Meany. It is set in the 60s, when times were very different than now, simpler and innocent. Remember those days when we all went everywhere on our bikes? The story starts with the narrator, the adult Joe Wentworth, standing in the graveyard in front of the church he and Simon, the main character, attended as young boys. The story of Simon Birch is related by Joe, who explains in the first moments of the movie that it was because of Simon Birch, a small boy with a racked voice, that he believed in God. As the story progressed, Simon was born. It told the story of his birth. His mother was in the sterile white delivery room with only the doctor and two nurses present. The father was out in the waiting room, like all fathers were in those days. Just as the doctor put his gloves on, the mother sneezed, and there was the miniature Simon in just a sneeze. He was so small that he was expected not to live through the night of his birth. He was not expected to live more than a few days. Then it became a few weeks, but he proved everybody wrong. He lived many years. And the movie of his story starts with his 12th year. He had many health concerns, and physical movement was not easy. But Simon knew he was meant to beat those odds that his body continued to give him. Simon's parents didn't really know what to do with him. They didn't see him as a miracle. They were basically indifferent to their son. He could go and do as he pleased. They really didn't want to deal with it. Most adults ridiculed Simon, made fun of him, called him names. And the kids made fun of him, lifting him high up above them because he was so small. And they would pass him around the circle at Sunday school and just laugh and laugh. Even his Sunday school teacher harassed him, blamed him for everything, blamed him when the children put him above his heads while she stepped out of the room, like he had anything to do with it. The Episcopal priest of the church he attended with Joe and Joe's mother did not quite know how to handle him either. The preacher and Simon would get into debates of biblical proportions, using quotes from the book of Proverbs to see who could outquote the other one. Simon did have a great faith. As mentioned, he knew the Bible very well. He knew he was given life by God, and that life was meant to do something great. He often told his buddy Joe that he was God's instrument. Simon also said, "God made me the way I am for a reason." Joe did not like to hear this from Simon because Joe had his doubts about faith. And even if God existed, especially after his mother died, because Simon hit a home run and the ball hit his mother in the side of the head and she immediately died. Joe had doubts. And like Joe, most people did not believe Simon or even want to listen to him. But he believed, and that was all that mattered. As adults in our world, we have conversations about being called by God to do something, to take a certain job, to make a change, just to answer the call to ministry. I have heard comments about not listening very well, put it on the message. Or finally, some people say they pay attention. Paul speaks of being called by God in Galatians, explaining that the gospel he preached was not given to him by man, nor was he taught it. He received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Did people believe him? Did they want to listen to him? Sometimes. And sometimes not. Eventually, more and more people tended to believe him, but some were still not sure. Such was it with Simon Birch. Simon made people uncomfortable. He was different. He talked and behaved like no other child his age. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Yet he claimed to be an instrument of God. He even caused the pastor of the church to be impatient with him. Simon would argue with the pastor in the middle of services. The priest would announce that there would be, quote, coffee and donuts served after the service, like we do every Sunday, like Pastor Brad just did this morning. But Simon would have a reply, loud enough for everybody to hear. His reply was, "Who said God is interested in a continental breakfast?" Yes, he behaved inappropriately at times, but it was still his faith in God. He didn't think the business of the church or the church service had anything to do with things that went on outside the sanctuary. One of the funniest scenes in the movie is depicted on the front of your bulletin this morning. Simon caused chaos, and the problem in the picture was caused completely by Simon's behavior or bad behavior. I'll get back to that in a moment. The people that were around Simon the most loved him and treated him like a member of the family. Those people were Joe, his mother, and her boyfriend, Ben. They accepted Simon for who he was. They loved him for who he was. They took care of him. They adored him as a gift from God. Most other people just dealt with him and most of the time ignored him. It seemed easier to look the other way. Sound familiar again? How do we react when someone, even a small child, tries to tell us something we don't understand, agree with, or even want to hear? Do we just smile and say, "Oh, that's nice"? Or do we really listen and try to understand and try to agree? Believe a young teenager, a 12-year-old? That's just plain silly. But should we really listen? Yes. In the book of 2 Timothy, Paul instructs Timothy, his co-worker, from a cold jail cell after his second imprisonment, saying, "For God did not give us a gift of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or be ashamed of me, his prisoner." Simon Birch was not timid, nor should we be. We should not be afraid to testify, to show our faith, or to answer God's call. Just as Simon Birch announced that he was an instrument of God, so should we. When are we afraid? When do we look the other way? When do we avoid something or someone? Are we also denying a call from God? Denying our faith or our Christian teachings? Yes, sometimes we are. Paul spoke to all of us when he told us not to be timid, because timidity is not a gift from God. He also told us not to be ashamed of who we are, our faith, our family, friends, or associates. When we are Christians answering the call of God, following the plan that He has set out for us, whether it be a small daily task or a large life-changing one, this can lead us to be heroes. We are called to be God's instruments, instruments of peace, of love, of action, of trust, of loyalty. We are called to stop ignoring the signs, the invitations, and the calls to action that are put in front of us every day. I recently had a conversation with my youngest daughter, and she informed me of a decision that she had made to slightly change the course of her path. She said that in the end, she did not want to see a very valuable ministry end in her community, but she was not doing anything about it. She had decided to do something about it and follow her passion. She continues to answer her call and be an instrument of God to the teenagers in her community. As I said, Simon Birch knew that he was to be an instrument of God and possibly be a hero. He had no idea how, when, or why. He just knew. Simon did have some very special gifts. One, as I've talked about, was his faith. Another, he could swim and then go underwater and hold his breath for a long time. Remember the chaotic scene that I mentioned earlier that Simon had caused? Well, it was a Christmas pageant. It was very funny. Any one of us who has ever been responsible for a children's Christmas pageant, myself included, can relate to the fear of the pageant going south quickly at the slightest turn. That is exactly what happened at Simon and Joe's Christmas pageant. It quickly disintegrated into chaos. And most of it was Simon's fault. In the middle of the chaos, all that could be heard among the hollering and screaming and going on was Simon's creaky little voice saying, Sorry. He was just being a 12-year-old boy. I'm not going to give the details, but trust me, it was a sight to behold. The outcome of this terrible turn of events became the road to heroism for Simon. If you've not seen the movies, I will not give all the details, but suffice it to say, Simon became a hero in a big way. After a terrifying accident, the Sunday school bus hit some ice on the trip home from a boys' retreat right after Christmas and slid careening through several pine trees and off the side of this hill and came to a rather steep cliff. And the bus just couldn't stop, and off the bus went and landed in a lake. The worst thing that the driver could have done, he opened the door and said, "I can't swim," and took off, letting all the water gush in the bus. The Reverend Russell was sitting in one of the front seats and had hit his head and was knocked unconscious. There were no other adults on the bus. So Joe Wentworth, Simon's buddy, being the oldest kid on the bus, stood up and was trying to calm all these little boys down. They were screaming and crying, and he kept saying, "Listen to me, listen to me." And they wouldn't listen to him. All of a sudden, you see Simon's hands grasp the back of the one seat, and he said, "Listen." In that little racked voice, the bus went silent, and all the little heads turned it straight to Simon. He started giving instructions. "You're going to do this. You're going to do that. We're going to help you off the back of the bus, and Joe will take you to shore." And he just kept going on, and he was herding those boys out the back door of the bus. When all of a sudden the back door went shut, and there was Simon and the last little boy. The last little boy was stuck in one of the emergency brake thingies on the side of the bus. His foot wouldn't come out. Simon could only dive in the water and get his foot out of that between the metal and the side of the bus. He could stay underwater long enough to do that. He got the little boy's foot out, but by then the bus just kept filling and filling. They pulled the window down, and Simon sent the little boy out the window, and he got to safety. But then the bus submerged. Simon again had to hold his breath long enough to be saved. He saved that little boy's life and all the other little boys on the bus. He was a hero. He knew all along he would be a hero. He was a miracle, you know. With all of the health issues he had, he was blessed somehow with the ability to hold his breath underwater long enough. What he and Joe believed to be just a fun little competition in the lake, swimming on a warm summer afternoon after playing baseball, actually was training Simon to be that instrument that God wanted him to be. This wonderful movie gives so many reasons to love, loyalty, friendship, all based on faith. I could go on and on, but I won't. Some of my students a few years ago told me that that movie, Simon Birch, really affected them. I show this movie every year when I teach a unit on heroes. And that comment from that student spoke volumes, so I haven't stopped teaching about heroes, using Simon Birch to close up the unit. I can't get into the faith-based innuendo at school, but I can sure teach students a lot about being heroes, going beyond themselves and doing. Heroes come in many forms. Heroes can be small with a funny voice and health concerns, or a hero could be any one of you or me. When the time presents itself, that's our Christian responsibility to become an instrument of God. We are all miracles, you know. Amen.